Praise God. Yeah, the funny thing about that is when they, after the dog rolls in that, they don't know they stink. In fact, they're so happy about it, they want to give you kisses. You know? They think they've taken on a new and more wonderful scent. Guess what I found? Yes. Praise God. Thank you for that, Vicki. Last week we talked about helping people see, noting that people that don't grow in the Lord, well, they just don't see what they have. The importance of us recognizing what we have, and then when we recognize what we have, desiring more. This week when I was reading in Matthew, it spoke to me about when it said that the blind man said to Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 29, verse 29 says, when Jesus and his followers were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed them, and there were two blind men sitting by the road, and they heard that Jesus was coming by, so they shouted, Lord, Son of David, please help us. The people criticized the blind men and told them to be quiet, but they shouted more and more, Lord, Son of David, please help us. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you know, oftentimes people will criticize those who want to follow Jesus, those who want Jesus' help. On Wednesday night, we noted that more and more we see people posting to people's needs and wants that they'll be praying. There's more and more people that I remember well a year ago would put best wishes or thinking of you, and now some of those same people are saying, we're praying for you. And so for whatever reason, they're moving into that, and that's becoming a follower. And people will criticize you. The closer you come to Jesus, the more you take him as your choice, the more you will be criticized by some. So you don't want to pay attention to those, because they don't know who their father is. They don't know. If someone were to criticize you for trusting God too much, that's certainly not God. And so they were criticizing these men, and they just shouted louder. I encourage you to shout louder. I encourage you to declare your faith louder. You know, you might need to practice it in a field where you don't think anybody hears you, but God will hear you. But to be more confident in what God is doing and what God can do, rather than letting them take it away from you, because there will be, as Vicki said, there's stuff thrown in our paths. There's opportunities to compromise. There's opportunities to go and roll in it. And then we are exceptional justifiers. We have such an ability to just justify why we choose the wrong thing. We're Christian, or perhaps we don't care about Christ. As my friend who didn't see any need for God, but then saw a need for God. Thank God he saw a need for God. So thank God he suddenly saw that and became a follower. Short term. But those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. But as Peter and Paul and all of the writers of the Bible, the Holy Spirit stirs in us and says to us, keep going, keep pressing, keep adding, because as you add those good things to your faith, then the stronger you become. As you keep adding those things that the Bible says, as you add, the more I need you, the more I love you, the more I love you, the more I want you, and now I want you more. I can't live without you. I don't want to live without you. There is no life without you. To understand, I have searched everywhere, but I found that it's true, there is no life without you. See, if the idea that there is no life without God feels even a little bit foreign, then it's time to shout louder, run faster, press harder. Because we simply do need him. And the more that we realize that we do need him, the more that we know that we do need him, and the more that we realize that what we don't see, we need to see. I want what people who chase after God have. I don't need the other stuff. Those are the people that I need to understand better. Those are the people. I don't think I'd be able to find it now, but Joyce Meyer had a statement about self-control this morning. And that self-control was a freedom to do what God wants. It's not something that limits us, but it's the opportunity we have that. And that's what Vicki was talking about with, you know, things are thrown in the road. Opportunities to compromise are thrown in the road, and we either run and we roll in them and take on that scent, or we say, no, I don't have to do that. We used to do a thing with Jamie, the Afghan hound we had. I would set a snack on her nose. And she would look at it and just wait for me to say okay. And the minute I said okay, boom, she had it. But she would wait. And I could tell, oh, how she wanted it, but she would wait. Totally against her nature, but she would wait. She could practice self-control. Now, there were some educational processes that went into that. But, you know, never, the educational processes never had anything to do with the treat on her nose. That she just understood, that she needed permission. I don't even know why we started doing that, but because she wasn't very good at listening. But then she became so good at listening. She became so good at listening and such a remarkable dog that when we would be places and people who knew anything about Afghans couldn't understand how that dog could be off a rope and walking with us. Because normally they're gone. And they're gone fast. And they only come back when they want to. But she became such a good dog because she practiced self-control. And, you know, there's things. Dogs teach us good things sometimes. Pets can teach us amazing things. Phones can teach us to shut them off. There we go. I hear you knocking, but I don't know who it is. The thing is that we learn that. We practice that self-control. God was big on self-control. He said, I set before you the way of life and death, choose life. Seems so simple. But then recognizing what is death. Recognizing what's a rat or whatever it is on the road and saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to roll in that. And listen, it's not the end of the world if you roll in it. But it is a little tough if you don't realize when you're rolling in it and catch yourself. And see, these guys, they just started shouting louder. Why? Because they wanted something. They wanted something. Hey, we know about wanting things. We understand wanting things. We are people full of wanting things. But what God wants us to do is to want him. And these guys believed that Jesus was the answer to their problems. And he said, well, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, they said, Lord, we want to be able to see. And Jesus felt sorry for the blind men, and he touched their eyes, and immediately they were able to see. And it says, then they became followers of Jesus. No one will become a follower of Jesus until they see Jesus. And being a follower of Jesus is the key to the kingdom of God. Now, oftentimes you'll hear people say about, well, that person is just such a good person. If they're not following Jesus, they're a deceived person. And worse yet, they're deceiving other people. But it says they became followers of Jesus. And when I read that, it just piqued in my spirit, you know, that there's so many people that know about God that don't follow him. and yet have convinced themselves that they are following him. Just the same way that the dog didn't see anything wrong and in fact saw everything right with rolling on that. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I was made to do. This is, to Allie, that was a gift from God. I mean, in dog she might have been saying, oh, thank you, Lord, as she's rolling on that, because it was what she wanted. It was a desire of her heart. So maybe we shouldn't be so hard on dogs that roll and stuff, you know? Because it might be a gift to them and a great gift to you. An object lesson. I mean, the stink is not so good, but don't worry about that. If it reminds us of something, if we use that to grow from, you see, if we use from things that we learn and that we get to grow from them, they were great experiences. And as I thought about that being a follower, then I did. I go back 31 years ago, this time of year, I was well on the course to be a follower of Jesus, but I'm telling you what, nobody in the church would have totally understood it. The people in that Bible study were so patient and they didn't see what went on away from the place, but they knew two Bible studies into it that they had a hot one. And they knew because I sat at the table and my leg was just going. When I'm thinking, my leg is going. My wife hits me because my leg is going. Don't do that. Scowls at me, but my leg is going. You know? But, you know, the thing was is that all it was, the thing that attracted me was the power of God to take me from stoned, high, and drunk to straight, sober, and scared. I had no understanding whatsoever, but I knew that it was something, and so I began to pursue that something. I won't guarantee you that I understood much of all the stuff that we read in the Bible, but I had a lot of questions. Hand was always up. Sometimes I didn't even put my hand up. There was something saying to me, just keep studying. It's like, what meaneth this? But my theology was pretty messed up. As I shared in that, you know, I mean, how do you learn things? Well, the best that you know how to do it. My theology on whether God wanted me to drink or not was, I'm going to get real drunk. My wife can tell you that I said, I got a plan. I think God wants me to quit drinking, so I'm going to get real drunk. Now, how I knew that getting real drunk would do anything, I'm just guessing that the Holy Spirit just said, if it'll work, let's go with it. And since then, all I've wanted to do is be drunk in the Spirit, because that was a bad drunk. I say I know it was a bad drunk, because when I got up, I felt so bad I let my wife drive through the mountains. I hadn't done that for a long time. It was summer. It was pretty safe, but, you know, I mean, but the thing was is that for some reason, you know, I guess because I was wondering about if I was supposed to, you know, and some people, well, God would never tell you to do that. Well, I'm not saying he told me to do that, but I did it. And it was a great lesson. It was like rolling on a dead animal. You know, it was awful, but, you know, that's the way it was. And so whether somebody else would have looked from the outside and said, boy, he's a follower of God, no, but that's how I was following. I was finding out. I was doing whatever I needed to do to find him. Because I didn't know that I'd already found him. That's why when I would tell pastors later that I was saved and didn't know it, they would say, oh, Brother Dave, that's not possible. What can I say? God says it's true. I was saved and didn't do it. I was following better than a lot of people who thought they were following, and I didn't even know I was following. I was trying to find something. Because I once was blind, but then I saw, and so then I wanted to see more. The same way those blind men couldn't follow Jesus till they could see, but once they saw him, they became followers. And so we are followers, becoming better followers all the time until the time that we... What does the Bible say? Those of you keep going to the end, you will see the reward. But in the meantime, there's lots of great scenery. Lots of great scenery that we see along the road with God the peace that God gives, the confidence that God gives, the hope that God gives. You know, once you've experienced the peace and the confidence and the hope that God gives, you recognize when you don't have it. And then the war goes on of, you don't deserve it anymore. Ah, Jesus gives it to us. You know, it isn't just once that old things pass away and all things become new. Daily, old things get to pass away and things become new. Daily, we have the opportunity. It isn't just about finding it and rolling it. It's about finding it and kicking it out of the path. And a person might roll in it three times, but boy, once they kick it out of the path, now they're ready to roll, because everything that has been built up and everything that has been stored up all the time for a person is waiting for the door to open, and the door opens when we kick it out of the path and we receive engrafted what God is teaching us. God doesn't stand with a hammer to beat us over the head when we roll in it. He stands with tomato juice or whatever it takes to kill the smell, waiting for us to see it and say, not this time. Not this time. You're not fooling me again. And heaven has been waiting to rejoice over that since before the first time. Heaven's just been waiting for that. Heaven isn't going, oh, they'll never make it. Although I have said that I think my angels on occasion said, just forget him. If he comes back, great, but just, you know, can't we just find something else to do? But God just kept things stored up and ready for that time. And when that time came, the windows of heaven were open and things began to pour out, and understanding became. And the more that we understand, the more that we are free to follow, then the more that we find. And the more that we find, the more that we want to follow. And then it isn't like, oh, that's the end of the path. It's like, there is no end to the path. There is no end to the goodness. There is no end to what we can learn from God. I got a kick out. I was texting with James and asked James if he was getting all of his hunting done. And James says, nope, no hunting. I've discovered that a pregnant wife gets a little anxious when you're not home. Now, who would have ever thought James would lay down hunting? You know? But I was thinking about that this morning, because, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, I mean, most every guy has it pretty well figured out. If they want to have a happy marriage, they keep the wife happy. And I thought, why is it that way? Well, it's a gift. It's a gift that God gave us. He gave man a woman to keep her happy. And it doesn't make a bit of sense, but somehow it does, because it's a lot better when it's that way. It just is. I can't understand it, you know. If you want to man up, you keep the woman happy. That's my advice to anybody. Oh, you can think, oh, not the way it is in my house. That's what you think. I rule my house. That's right, and boy, it must be happy when you're ruling. Well, no, it's best when she's ruling, but I rule it. I say it's my way, and my way is her way. Because that's the only way. And it's good. I mean, it really is good. I'm not complaining about that a bit, but God's an amazing God. You know? I mean, that's really a miracle of God. It really is a miracle when God can make us macho, macho men, servants of a weak little girl. Well, if we want to take authority, most of the time, unless you're a karate expert, you know. But it was happy. Rachel bought me a t-shirt that said happy, happy, happy. I was going to wear it today. I still have the tag on it, because I think that's what you ought to do with, what do you want? Oh, it's kind. I don't need them. I can see what I need to see. It's from Duck Dynasty, happy, 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 you know. And You know, it just seems to me if you have a Duck Dynasty t-shirt, you should just leave the tag on, hanging off your arm. I don't know. Mini pearl. Yeah. But you know, when we're followers of God, we should keep the tag on. To remind us that we're followers of God. Sometimes you get jeans and they have those things on them, and my wife and my daughter find them and tell me I should take them off. I said, hey, I want people to know I bought new jeans. I don't want to falsely advertise God, but I want to keep the tag on that I'm a follower of God. The tag on that we're followers of God is peace in the midst of storms. It's confidence in the midst of discouragement. It's assurance that, hey, I live because of him. That's all there is to it. And it doesn't have to make sense, and everything doesn't have to be just perfect the way that I want it. It's going to get there because God has said when I pray, he hears me. And so I got patience. I can wait upon the Lord. It's an opportunity. Waiting on the Lord is an opportunity. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. We don't have to hope for things that we already have. But if we think about it, what do we have since we know God that we didn't have before we knew God? We should dwell on these things. My goodness, how great is our God? It's not just a song. It's a statement. How great is God? Selah. Pause and think about that. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. That's a pretty old song, and it's true. And those are the things that we need to dwell on because they will help us to be followers. Continually following the Lord. Until we come to the place where we can walk by the dead thing on the path, kick it off the path so it's not laying there for somebody else to get into, and just keep going and going and going. But if we land on it and roll in it, we cannot give up. Because we'll always have those opportunities. I had a friend that asked me, you know, did you just get so discouraged trying to be a musician that you made this up? You know, basically, he said, did you just cop out and take the Jesus way? And I thought, phew, that's stupid. But I didn't know for sure. I said, well, maybe. But I wasn't really having a hard time. It was really a pretty easy life. I didn't have to work hard. Made money when I worked. Had enough money to do a lot of stupid things in between. Didn't have, you know. So I, Selah, I thought about it. And that was when God said, you're not that smart. So that was good. I knew that I couldn't make it up. It was real, you know. Oh, God wouldn't say something like that. Well, maybe he wouldn't say that to you. But to me, it worked. I couldn't disagree with him. You're right. I'm not that smart. I couldn't make this up. I couldn't overcome anything all by myself. And all of a sudden with him, I'm overcoming a lot of things. But there's still those rats in the road. There's still those opportunities to declare whether we're a follower or we're not a follower. And how far do we go to do that? I can remember, I think it was last year, Dorn, when you said that you had never read the Bible clear through. I was shocked. I thought, how in the world could he not read the Bible clear through? We've been preaching the whole Bible for all these years. He's never read it clear through. We always talk about reading the Word, but he must have always just thought that's for other people. I'm busy. I don't have time. And all of a sudden, you got time. You kicked the rat off the road, you know? We come to those places where things come up and we no longer want to rationalize them. We want to get right in them. The sweet smell of God. We've rolled in enough of the other stuff. Let's just get into that sweet savor of God. And the good thing about it, as soon as we step into it, God's rowing the boat. Not trying to push us aside. Not trying to get us to spend the next 6 years feeling bad about our stupidity. You know? Nobody wants to feel bad about stupidity. Leave old things behind. Let all things become new. Let's go! Let's just follow. You know? I mean, hey, if you're going somewhere and you're keeping an eye on somebody and then you get distracted and you lose them, all of a sudden now you want to find them again. You want to get there again. God never said there would be distractions. In fact, he said there will be trials and tribulations, but don't worry about them. I've overcome them. I can get you back. It just is a matter of being a follower. Quit trying to lead God. Quit trying to get God to do what you want him to and just follow him. See where he's going. That's all Jesus, he started out. He said, well, just follow me. Just follow me. You'll see. Where are you going? Follow me. And some followed, some left. Some came back, some left again. You know, I mean, that's just how it goes. But folks, as we become followers, we help others see. And the more that we follow, the more we realize that that's the important thing in life, that we follow him. People who think they've got it all figured out are only fooling themselves, not following him. I don't even want to have it all figured out. Just reading today about, you know, Jesus' advice to them about the end was, just be ready. Just be ready. There'll be this and there'll be that, and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, and these kind of things will happen and that'll happen. But the bottom line is, just be ready. So that when he returns, you're ready. No follower will be caught by surprise. That doesn't mean that we'll know when day is coming. That doesn't mean that we'll know everything. That just means when he comes, we'll say, ah, here we go. We're here. You turn on your GPS and it says take a left here, take a right there, take a left here, take a right there, and then all of a sudden it'll say you're at your destination. They aren't always right. When I was in Nashville, I was going 70 miles an hour on the interstate when it said, you're at your destination. I was on an overpass. I was not at my destination. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get that thing to think. So I went back to what I knew. I'm just going to follow that old path. See if it won't get me in. The Lord says, return to me and I'll return to you. So that's the thing. Always, always, always bearing in mind that the most important thing we have is him and following him. And if we've lost sight of him, he hasn't lost sight of us. Isn't that good news? He never leaves sight of us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. That's good news. Oh, so good a news. Those who don't grow in these blessings are blind. This is the verse from last week. Because they can't see clearly what they have. Lord, I want to see clearly what I have. And if I see clearly what I have, then I will desire more of what got me what I have. And that's you. Followers, above all things, keep following him. Father, it is a privilege to follow you. It truly is a privilege to follow you. And thank you that you've given us eyes to see that it is a privilege to follow you. And open the eyes of our hearts and open our understanding so that we recognize those things that, try to distract us and try to defeat us, and we find ourselves even believing the lie sometimes. But when we open our eyes once again to look, there you are, ready to lead us on. And Lord, as we follow you, may others see how great you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.